is Iconic with your hosts JM, Mark, and Nick.
Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th Age. I'm your host JM, and with me as always are Nick and Mark.
Hello.
Hey.
This week we are covering The Wreck of Volan's Glory, an adventure by Kobold Press, written by Iconic guest and special guest host, Wade Rocket. So let's get into it. Nick, what is Volan's Glory?
Volan's Glory is a modular 13th Age adventure produced by Kobold Press. It's set in their Midgard world for second level adventurers. I believe it was originally written as a con adventure. Mm-hmm. And as such, it's written in such a way that you can run it more than one time and it will have a very different feel to it each and every time. They do a really good job of laying out these are the consistencies in each session that you need to run it, but then here are how you can change things up. You've got five different main opponents. You've got five different major icons that are involved in that, and you can kind of pick and choose or roll randomly to spice it up.
As Nick said, it's designed to have five different outcomes, and you as the GM get to pick it going into this. And so just so you know, this will not be a spoiler-free review. But because you as the GM have multiple options on paths to take through this, we're not going to cover all of them. But again, you know, players beware. If your GM is looking at running this, either turn it off now or take meticulous notes. Mark, why don't you give us an overview of the actual adventure?
Comes into stolen magic items, a crashed airship, competing search parties, and my favorite, the Deathless Defile.
Which ghost, is goblin a
ghost goblin village. Something about goblins and kobolds. I just, I don't know. I really like them.
Yeah, and then Mark hit all the key points. Basically, an airship is crashed. You are hired to recover a magic item. And who is in control of the magic item? Who's racing you for this magic item? And who wants the magic item? All depend on your choices at the start of the adventure. It's designed to be run in 2 to 4 hours. You can streamline it. You can make it move faster.
I really like that part because if you're running it, you know, in a homebrew, then you can take the 4 hours or 5 hours or whatever your group normally meets for. But if you're running it at your friendly local gaming store and usually you sign your table and you sign up for the time limit, you might not have 4 hours. So you can do it in two by cutting some things out that aren't needed, and that's great. Or if you're running it at a convention or something like that, so that's nice. Doesn't really take away from the whole adventure.
Now, as Nick said, it does take place in the Kobold Press's world of Midgard, which we do have a bestiary for 13th Age, and then Deep Magic for 13th Age really plays into that. But Nick will put a link in the show notes for Wade Rocket giving some ideas on how to adapt it for the Dragon Empire. And really, as long as your campaign world includes airships or ships of any kind, because this could just be a crashed ship.
And undead.
Yeah.
Sure, and you change the icons.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the icons in the adventure, you can read the description without looking at the name and go, oh, that's this icon, easily. So it's not even like they have really out of the box, completely different. They just, different names, there's some takes on some things. So I thought that it was very easy to put it out there. Yeah, I see it. Crashed in a red waste or near the abyss. Mm-hmm. That's where you get some of the corrupting.
Spoiler.
or around any hellhole, something like that. So it's very easy to put it wherever you want. So yeah. I liked it.
And again, even if you wanted to put it in something place other than the Dragon Empire in your own homebrew setting or something like that, it from what I could tell, it would be a very easy thing to reskin.
Oh, yeah.
You could even just leave everything as written, but just put a different name on different things. Even the monster stats, just call it something else and you'd be good to go.
Right.
Oh, if there's no goblins in your world, I'm not playing there.
You play in Tanar and there are no goblins.
What? I thought you were just making that up.
Well, let's go over some of our favorite parts of the adventure. And again, there's not a whole lot to the adventure.
It's 24 pages or 24 pages. It's not long. And, you know, it's only 2 to 4 hour adventure. So Wade put a lot into this. But it's not going to take us that much time to kind of go over the highlights of it.
Right.
So, Jam, what was your favorite part of it?
All right, so my favorite part is the fact that it definitely captures the madcap feel of 13th Age at the table. You're feeling like you're in a 13th Age adventure. As much as I liked Reign of Ruin, one of our big takeaways from that was that it didn't really feel like a 13th Age adventure. It felt like a D20 adventure that just had 13th Age stats. This is not the case with Volan's Glory. I really enjoyed the zombie fog.
You would.
Why? Why would you say
that? Just from a GM standpoint, reading through, I was like, yep, this has got JM written all over it.
So there's fog surrounding the final airship, and during the round at which characters are in the fog, it summons zombies. And so the longer your group stays in the fog, the more of these zombie attack. And it has a really George Romero kind of feel that there's just multiple unknown hordes of zombies in this fog just waiting to leap out. And yes, they're only level zero mooks, but at the numbers that get thrown at you, it is...
Yes, but...
It'll quickly overpower your PCs.
Not just...
Not overpower, but...
Zero level mook zombies, but your compatriots who get knocked down the next round rise as zombie mooks to attack you.
Oh, yeah. And included is a nastier special, which just means JM, please use them.
Yes.
So take a look at the is that your best headshot special rule.
I actually laughed out loud when I read that.
What about you, Mark? What was your favorite part?
My favorite part was the Goblin Tribe. Krakech or Krakek speaks with strangers.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of the chief, but Morkesh is the chief. That's his name. I just love goblins and kobolds and stuff when they think they're so important.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, little spoiler alert, depending on how you treat them is how they treat you, which is really good. And I liked it. And I always love Minotaurs.
Oh, yeah.
And that's right on the cover. So you're like, woo!
Yeah. Nick?
For me, it was the crashed airship.
Okay.
And the encounter on top of that. It is hanging from a precipice above the zombie fog. And whenever the PCs climb aboard, each round they have to make a dexterity check. And after so many failed checks, the ship crashes into the fog. So then all of the bad guys that they've just slain all of a sudden then rise and attack them again. The reason I like that is it kind of put the players into the game, understanding that they're on this ship that's just hanging tenuously, and each time they move, the ship's going to rock and move a little bit, and if they're not overly careful, they're going to tip it over the edge and make it crash. And again, one of the nastier specials is that the opponents that they're fighting have either a potion or a magical ability that allows them to move around without rocking the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the tension of being in that element and being in that moment. And if you fail too many times, it just suddenly got that much worse.
Right. One of the other things I like gameplay-wise is the fact that from a GMing perspective, the amount of it's designed for replay, but the amount of information that you need to actually remember per replay is very little. There are five groups of enemies, and you end up using most of them, even if the main bad guy changes. Basically, there are other groups who are going out looking for this as well, and you encounter them at various points, and Wade is like, use one of the groups from the end, but don't make them your main bad guy. Just hint at what your main bad group is. And so if you use, you know, group A as the main rival and the first time you run it, just use them as the first minor group that they fight next time on. You already know everything you need to know about that group. So what about some things we didn't like?
One of the things, I guess the thing that stood out for me when I read through it, that just from looking at it as a product and what you're getting when you buy it, is the lack of art in it. I like looking at the stuff and getting a feel for, you know, here's an evocative picture that kind of sets me in the moment and in the mood. I was hoping to see something of that airship hanging in there in that valley or in that defile. But the cover art is really the only art that's in there. I think there's one other minor map that kind of shows an overview of the town that you're in,
mm-hmm.
but it's basically just, you know, black and white kind of drawn out on hex. These are aerial view. These are the buildings and here's the space between them. And this is what this building is. That's what that building is. But as far as art goes, it's really just that cover piece. I would have personally liked to see, like I said, something of that airship to kind of, you know, you can show your players and say, this is where your guys are at. This is what you're getting into. But I'm sure you can Google crashed airship and you know, you'd find something on DeviantArt or something
right.
like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't, I don't think, from lack of talent. If you look at the credits, who's involved in this project, it probably just came down to a money thing. And
yeah.
Art's nice. I didn't really notice that. Just maybe I got ruined in a past system that had art going across the page, and then they tried to write over it, so it's very difficult to read. So I like clean pages.
You wouldn't be talking about Anima, would you?
They're one of them, but there's some other ones that get really arch, and it's great art, but when you put typewritten stuff on top of it and then change it to, say, white or something, it's like, why? Just put it on the outside and write on a nice clean page so I can read it. Art's nice. Yeah, I do like props and art and showing pictures. Sometimes it's much better to explain by going, here's a picture of the crashed airship versus a lengthy description. But I think to keep the price down, that was their choice.
Yeah. What about you? I actually, for what it is, I thoroughly enjoyed it. There was nothing that stood out as something that I would, obviously change or mechanics that I didn't enjoy. If I were looking at running in the Midgard setting, this would probably be my first adventure that I would run for the group just to give them a feel for it. Actually, it's jumped out as one of my go-to adventures for just teaching people 13th Age.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't really, nothing stood out to me glaring. Like, and I'm pretty good at any adventure that comes through. I find something I can use out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this one, I didn't really say, I can't use that. I could easily skin this to my home thing, to the Dragon Empire, Midgard, any of these.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that just briefly. So it's set in Midgard. It's designed as an intro to the world. How would you use it in the Dragon Empire, the kind of default 13th Age game? You gave us a little hint, Mark.
Yeah, I would just change some of the pertinent icons. And a lot of it just depends on your group. I try to go with what they pick. Why? And you can bring in an icon that no one's associated with for something new, but I always try to work it with... if you've got the Crusader, maybe not every time, but why always go over here to the Elf Queen if no one cares about her, unless it's really central to that storyline? So it's easy to change them. I'd put it, like I said, near the Abyss or a Hellhole or something corrupting, and that's why. And I see no reason why dwarves couldn't have airships in the Dragon Empire.
Right.
Haven't seen anything against it, so... I think it depends if you want that kind of level of technology. But yeah, like you said, it could be a ship. It just could be, these guys stole this item and they disappeared here. There's no airship. So you have it make it maybe a cliff that's going to fall apart or something like that. That's get into that whole skill check, instead of an airship.
For my 13th Age game, I'm planning on using this adventure as a crass spell jammer in the side of one of the cubes my brain just died.
Well, even in here, though, you could, there are floating cities, yes?
Yeah.
Why couldn't you have a little floating town, or instead of an airship, it's just a piece of, a section of the town, maybe a smaller version that's what crashed and is destabilized and something like that. So, yeah, it's done.
In Asheron, that's the point. I was looking for.
No, I said I could even run. I'm very good at also stealing.
Yeah.
And I could run this as a D20. I could run this in... A lot of stuff. I could run this in Shadowrun. Stolen object, you got to go find it.
Multiple groups of runners.
Sometimes it's just getting the idea of, what are we going to do? I've done that before, I've got pistols instead of swords.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about this then. Jamie, you mentioned maybe running this as an introductory campaign or a session. What if you already had something going? How would you insert this into your campaign?
I would personally, if I knew I was going to run it, it'd be very easy to talk about the crashed airship. They're in town. This airship never made it. Foreshadow it a little bit and then just take a detour. Have one of their icons show up when they roll a 5 and say, guess what? Time's up. You've got to go out there and check this out and bring this back for me. It is a level 2 adventure.
Yeah, it's level 2, but I could easily make it tougher.
Oh, yeah, very easy to make it tougher. Just use one of the scaling things from the organized play.
Sure.
And then...
Make the chief a red cap.
That makes everything more interesting.
Yeah, I can see in any of even organized plays, some of the multiple session longer adventures, the icon contacts you somehow. Before you move to the next... part of your mission, or you head off to go do this, I need you to go do this and recover a magic item that will help you.
Yeah.
And it's a little side quest that they'll never know.
Yeah. That's kind of what the when I read through it, I was thinking through that, you know, how would I insert it? The first thing that came to mind was a five. You roll someone a five and they get a boon, but then the favor they have to do in return at some point other in time is to go recover the lost item. Either that or cannibalize it, because it is split up into several different groupings that you can kind of, you know, pick and choose mm-hmm. how you want to go through it, mm-hmm. depending on time, and just say, all right, well, we're going to take this encounter in the town, and we're going to use it over here, and we're going to use this other part over here, and put the crashed airship as, you know, that scene as part of a dungeon crawl or, you know, something like that, and just totally cannibalize it and not even do it from start to finish.
Yep.
You can get The Wreck of Volan's Glory on DriveThruRPG. We'll provide a link in the show notes. It's currently running
$4.99, which is not a bad price. I would pay, I mean, we were gifted this as a review copy, mm-hmm. and after going through it, I would definitely, I think $5 is a very fair price for what you're getting out of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we are pleased to announce our second contest for the Iconic Podcast. We're calling it Get Out and Run 13th Age.
How original.
How original. after doing our organized play episode, Mark, Nick, and I were chatting, and we wanted to do something to get organized play up and running at your local game store, and what better way to do that than with our listeners. Nick, why don't you tell us about the contest?
All right. What we are wanting you to do is to go to your friendly local gaming store and run one of the organized play adventures, and then tell us about it. We will need to know your name, the name of your gaming store, when you ran it, what adventure, and what parts of that adventure, and then a maximum of 300-word write-up of what happened. And it would be great also if we could get a picture of your group so we can see what your table looks like.
We'll post all of the entries on the website. Winners will be determined randomly, but each session that you run will count as a separate entry. I mean, you'll have to put a separate entry together, but you can enter multiple times, but you can only win once. And what kind of contest would it be without prizes? Mark, tell us about our prizes.
Okay, we were graciously allowed to offer the first place winner $20 used on Pelgrane's Press website. Second gets 15, and third gets 10. Remember, you can only win once, but the more you enter, the greater chance to win that first prize.
That's right. So when you're ready to submit your entry, jump over to iconicpodcast.com. There will be a post that has a link to a Google form that will just allow you to fill out all of that and submit it. In fact, that is the official way to submit entries for this contest. All other ways will be looked at and then promptly discarded. This contest will run between now and March 31st. We're giving you just over 2 full months to get into your game store, get a group going. Winners will be announced by April 6th. Get out there and game. Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions or comments, you can contact us at whitedragon@iconicpodcast.com or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.